We're looking at the big rallying cries of the Reformation that are really important, that actually form the basis of what we believe now. It's not just history, it's history lived out here and now. So I know you're thinking, remind us of what we've done so far, Louise, because I may have forgotten. So we're looking at the five solas, which is the Latin word that means alone or only. Five big themes of faith that were important to the Reformation and are still important today.
The five solas of the Reformation.
So we're thinking, and we have thought already, about salvation is through grace alone. It's through faith alone. It's from Scripture alone. It's in Christ alone. You want to burst into song now, don't you? And it's to the glory of God alone. So far, we've covered Scripture, and we've covered grace and faith. And next week, Tony, no pressure, will finish off our series by leading our thoughts on to the glory of God alone. So it all started off the Reformation with this chap with an interesting haircut, Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, and he was really frustrated with the church. He was really frustrated that the church was operating in ways that he did not see in Scripture. And they were doing things like they were selling indulgences. So basically, the church was saying, if you want to get your loved one into heaven, cough up. It's a bit of a paraphrase. And he was saying, hang on, where does that come from? We don't hear that in Scripture. And Luther was really frustrated that the church was putting its own rules and regulations above what he read in Scripture. And it frustrated him so much that he wrote down 95 things that he really disagreed with how the church was running, and he nailed them to the door of the church in Wittenberg. If you see something nailed to our church door tomorrow, I'm having a bad day. And it started a public debate, and it really did that, and the Reformation began. And one of the differences and disagreements he posted about was the way he saw Scripture and the church divert on what Jesus Christ was about. Now, both he and we would hopefully agree on the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior of the world. Yes? Oh, you're nodding. Yes. I hope we're all agree on that one. I hope we would agree. That's something that's to come. I hope we would all agree that our salvation is unobtainable without Jesus. Yes? Right answer, church. Well done. That our salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone, on the work of the cross, in what Jesus did in buying us back from the price of sin. I hope we would all agree that he redeems us, that he pays the price that should have been ours, and he takes on our sin himself. That is what the gospel is about. And you may be thinking, hang on, Louise, does the Roman Catholic Church not believe that? Well, yes, it does believe that. That's something we have in common, both now and in the time of the Reformation. They believe, as we do now, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Yay! Yay! That he is the only way to God. We believe that. We have that in common. And today, I hope we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. But it's not something everybody believes. It's quite an unpopular claim about salvation. It sounds very exclusive, quite intolerant. And the thing about tolerance is that people are very intolerant of what they consider to be intolerance, which is ironic, isn't it? The popular view that we have in our world today that it doesn't matter what you believe, that everything ends up in the same place. The popular view is from different people and different religions that it doesn't matter what path you're walking on up the mountain. It could be a different path, but when you get there, the view at the top is the same, that all roads lead to God. People I know have an issue with sola Christus, that Christ alone is needed for salvation. That's what people think outside of these doors. I would like to remind us all this morning that the Bible teaches nothing of the sort. The Bible is clear that in Christ alone do we have hope, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. We don't find salvation in Buddha or in Muhammad or Krishna or a hodgepodge of new world religions. In Christ alone, as the song says, is salvation found. And that's not popular, because that sounds really intolerant. Well, that's pretty much what we believe, that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way and the truth and the life. Do we believe that? Good. Just checking. But the point of the Reformation, one of the questions of the Reformation, where the Roman Catholics and Martin Luther fell out, was in this question. Is that enough? Is salvation, Christ's work on the cross, enough for our salvation? The word that's often used is sufficient. Is it enough, what Christ did on the cross, for complete salvation? Or is there something that we need to do to top it up a little bit, to earn our salvation, as well as what Jesus did on the cross? And that was one of the big questions for Martin Luther. We would say, well, of course it's enough. It's grace. That's what Colin talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's a gift that's not earned. It's through faith. Peter talked about that last week. But there's a line of thought in Roman Catholic thinking at the time of the Reformation that differs on how faith is received, how we receive this work that Christ has done, how it becomes real in our lives. And it's all about the sacraments. Now, we have two sacraments in the United Reformed Church, which are the bread and the wine at communion and baptism. Well done, you're all still awake. Two sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. The Catholic Church have seven sacraments. They have baptism, they have confirmation, they have the Eucharist, they have penance, they have the anointing of the sick, holy orders, and marriage is classed as a sacrament. Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century Catholic theologian, says this: Christ's passion works its effects in them to whom it is applied by faith and charity and the sacraments of the church. He's saying, well, Christ's suffering goes so far, but it doesn't quite go far enough, is what they're saying. We need to top it up with a little bit of work on our part. So that's faith, it's also charity, that's love, and also by partaking in the sacraments. So if you were a Catholic, you are obliged to go for penance and confession in your little booth with your priest, and the priest might give you a list of things that you have to do to make amends. So you might have to pray your rosary several times. You might have to do some acts of charity. It's work to make amends. And what Luther is saying was that isn't what the Bible says. You don't have to do anything extra, because it's enough what Jesus has done. We don't have to top up what Jesus has done on the cross. That's enough for us. In Christ alone is enough. But I wonder if sometimes we do that, though. We worry that it's not enough, and we try and add to that by what we do, by our good works, by our service. We don't need anything else for complete salvation. Our past sin, our current sin, our future sin has been paid for already. Our past is redeemed, our present is glorious, our future is secure because of what Christ has done on the cross. And that was Paul's argument in the reading we had from Romans that Maxine read to us. He's saying that although we're rat bags, we're declared righteous and forgiven because of what Jesus has done. And he's the one who gains us access to the Father. So we can stand justified and forgiven, not because of anything that we've done, but entirely because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And he goes one step further. He reminds us that even when we were enemies of God, even when we were far away from God, even when we turned our back on God, God so willingly opens the way in Jesus Christ. And how much more now that we have accepted him should we realize how safe and secure our salvation is. Enough, he says. It's been done. Your bill has been paid. Your debt has been cleared. Christ has done that. That's the whole of the New Testament. We're told this message again and again in Romans, in Hebrews. Unlike other high priests, says Hebrews 7:27, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself, once for all. Hebrews 9:26, there's a theme emerging here. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. I was having fun in Hebrews. Hebrews 10. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Guess what? Once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he's been made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. Well, there's a theme emerging, isn't there? Once for all, in Christ alone, is our salvation found. Because that one act on the cross covers our sin forever. The sin of the past, the sin of the present, the sin that we're all still gonna do in the future. Because we will, because we're rat bags. It's covered. We don't need to work for it, because that's what grace is for. We need to receive it by faith. Isn't that good news? So I don't know if this is a life-changing message for yourself, but I want to encourage you that if you don't know this for yourself, if this is news to you this morning, to come and find out more. Because this is what God has done for you, for Jesus. If you don't know this Jesus who died on the cross for you, who takes away your sin, that verse from Romans remind you that, you know, whilst we're still far away, whilst we're still in sin, God calls to you. Maybe today he's calling to you. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I hope and pray that today that's your song too. That in Christ alone, your hope alone is in him. We're going to stand and we're going to sing together. And let's sing with faith because of what God has done for us.